I like the colder weather. Amen. It's great that it's cooled off. Hebrews 11. Thanks, Pastor, for this opportunity. There's been a greater theme over the past few weeks. Pastor Halana did a greater influence a few weeks ago. Pastor Phil did a greater love, and Brother Andrew spoke about a greater assurance last Wednesday, and I just want to tag on to the greater theme with greater riches from Hebrews 11:24-26. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Firstly, let's look at the choice that we have before us. I'm not sure if we can really understand how huge the choice Moses was making with his life here. Moses' foot was on the step of the loftiest throne on earth. Egypt at that day was a super advanced civilization, luxury, culture. They say he was trained in the finest and most famous college in the land, and he had proved himself already to be a statesman and a soldier, and life was good for Moses, very, very good. And it was only going to get better and better and better. But God, amen. There is a God in heaven that reaches down into the hearts of men and women and draws them and stirs them and inspires them to do something for him with their lives. God had chosen Moses, but now the time had come for Moses to choose God. Moses' choice involved two things, a refusal and an acceptance. Verse 24, the Bible says that Moses refused. This tells us that there was a strong temptation or a compelling force to accept what Egypt had to offer. Accept being the son of Pharaoh's daughter from a worldly mindset, from a carnal man would struggle with this opportunity. A fleshly man, This was not an easy decision. Imagine how the mind could justify itself. Moses' mind could have justified and says, you know what, listen, God's put me in this really good spot. He's put me in this incredible position in life in Egypt, so I can actually help the people of God because I'm in power. I can do more for them as the prince of Egypt than a slave of Egypt. And you know, the old saying, you know, Moses, you can have your cake and eat it too. But the Bible says he refused. One man said these words, never forget the fate of the moderate man. He will always get stoned by the extremists on both sides. So we'll look secondly at Moses' acceptance. The Bible says that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He chose weakness. He chose hardship. He chose oppression. He chose the minority. He chose to give up the future throne of Egypt. He chose to give up fame and fortune. And why did he do that? Because Moses had a handle on eternity. Look at our text. Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. This literally means he looked beyond. He considered his position in the light of eternity. He clearly understood that his life was temporal, that his life was finite, that it had a beginning and an end, and he wanted to put his hand to something that was eternal, that would last. The Apostle Paul lived like this in Philippians 3:8. The Bible says these words. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Moses and Paul valued the reproach of Christ as greater riches. I wonder how much value do we put on the reproach of Christ? Why is it such a struggle for a lot of believers to value the reproach of Christ? I think sometimes we're too entangled with this world. This world is like an octopus. It just gets its tentacles on us. Righteous Lot was entangled with this world. Genesis 19:15, a couple of verses there. Genesis 19:15. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Here is Lot. He has a visitation from God in the form of two angels the night before. They stay at his house. The story is just crazy. And then in the morning, the next day, the angels are saying, look, Charlie, Lot, look, you need to get your wife and get your kids and get going. Get out of here. We're gonna smoke this place. And the Bible says he lingered. What's he doing? Feeding the cat? Put a bit of food. Feeding the dog? Watering the plants? Bible says he's just lingering. He's lingering. You know why? Because his heart's not in it. He doesn't want to do what God is asking him to do because his life had become so entangled in that city with his job, with his home, his little life. Two angels literally march him out of town. I don't know if they got his hand up his back and frog marched him out. I don't know. Probably just one on each side and dragged him out. But listen to me. Sometimes prosperity can make you deaf to the call of God. In North Africa, they have a tree called the lotus tree. And there is an old fable that is connected to that tree. They say that when strangers eat of its fruit, it will make them forget their home. The Bible says that we're strangers in this land. And I want to remind us tonight that if we eat too much of this world's fruit, we'll forget where our real home is. John 14:2, Jesus' words. John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. But where I am, there ye may be also. How encouraging. We've really got a nice place waiting for us in heaven. A really nice mansion. Thirdly, let's finish with the reward. All the victories and all the victorious men and women that are recorded in Hebrews 11 were all achieved by the weapon of faith. Moses had a faith in an invisible God. Faith is the key to God's treasuries. This is what pleases God so much, when we believe what he says and we act on that. Hebrews 11:6, just a few verses before our text. The Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here again in this chapter, we are reminded that there are rewards involved in serving God. God is not afraid of telling you and I that there's a reward now and there's a reward at the end for making a decision to live for Him. And it's not unspiritual for you and I to do things for a reward. Why do we go to work every day? Oh, I just love my boss. Well, you know what? We'll see how much you love him when he doesn't pay you. There'll be a lot of love then. You'll be brother love. No, you go to work every day, week in and week out, so you get a reward, so you get paid. And here is Moses in our text in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Say what you want to say about Moses, but one of the motivating forces in his life is that he had his eye on the future reward. Can you say amen? And just like Moses, every time you and I refuse Egypt and we refuse the world and we make decisions for God and His kingdom, there's a reward. Every time you say no to the flesh and yes to God, there is a reward. And there is a great joy in making decisions for God. And there is a future reward for you and I. This is why we do this. I want the lolly at the end. Hebrews 12:2. Here's Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here is the joy in doing right, and here is the reward at the end. Jesus is at the right hand. He got the prize of all prize because there's great joy in doing right and there's great reward for those that endure. And I want to encourage you on a Wednesday night, just keep your hand to the plow and endure and say no to Egypt and yes to the things of God. Praise God. That's all I have.